has increased by a phenomenal 11.5%, a more rapid growth than any comparable period in 21 years. 4.5 million new civilian jobs have been created, more than in any comparable period in our whole history. At the same time, real per capita disposable income. That means what you have left to spend after taxes and after inflation has risen by 7.5%. This means that in terms of what your money will actually buy, in the past year and a half, your annual income has increased by the equivalent of 4 weeks' pay. When we consider these facts, therefore, we see that in terms of jobs, of income, of growth, we are enjoying one of the best periods in our history. We have every reason to be optimistic about the future. But there is one great problem that rightly concerns every one of us. This is rising prices, and especially rising food prices. By the end of last year, we had brought the rate of inflation down to 3.4%. That's the best record against inflation, 1972, of any major industrial nation. But now prices are going up at unacceptably high rates. The greatest part of this increase is due to an increase in food prices. This has been caused in large measure by increased demand at home and abroad, by crop failures abroad, and by some of the worst weather for crops and livestock we've ever had in America. Whatever the reasons, every American family is confronted with a real and pressing problem of rising prices. I have decided that the time has come to take strong and effective action to deal with this problem. Immediately effective, therefore, I am ordering a freeze on prices. This freeze will hold prices at levels no higher than those charged during the first 8 days of June. It will cover all prices paid by consumers. The only prices not covered will be those of unprocessed agricultural products at the farm levels and rents. Wages, interest, and dividends will remain under their present control systems during the freeze. The reason I decided not to freeze wages is that the wage settlements reached under the rules of phase three have been a significant cause of increase in prices. As long as wage settlements continue to be responsible and non-inflationary, a wage freeze will not be imposed. The freeze will last for a maximum of 60 days. This time will be used to develop and put into place a new and more effective system of controls which will involve the freeze. This new phase four set of controls will be designed to contain the forces that have sent prices so rapidly upward in the past few months. It will involve higher standards, more mandatory compliance procedures than under phase three. It will recognize the need for wages and prices to be treated consistently with one another. In addition to food prices, I have received reports from various parts of the country lately of many instances of sharp increases in the price of gasoline. Therefore, I have specifically directed the Cost of Living Council to develop new phase four measures that will stabilize both food prices at the retail store and the price of gasoline at your local service station. Announcing these phased actions, there is one point I want to emphasize to everyone listening to me tonight. Phase four that follows this freeze will not be designed to get us permanently into a controlled economy. On the contrary, it will be designed as a better way to get us out of a controlled economy, to return as quickly as possible to the free market system. We're not going to put this great American economy into a straitjacket. We're not going to control the boom in a way that will bring on a bust. We're not going to follow the advice of those whose proposed actions that we even have lead inevitably to a permanent system of price and wage controls. Such actions would bring good headlines tomorrow and very bad headaches 6 months from now for every American family in terms of rationing black markets and eventually a recession, which would lead to more unemployment. It is your prosperity at stake. It is your job at stake. The actions I have directed today are designed to deal with the rise in the cost of living without jeopardizing your prosperity or your job. Because the key to curbing food prices lies in increasing supplies, I am not freezing the price of unprocessed agricultural products at the farm level. This would reduce supply instead of increasing it. It would eventually result in even higher prices for the food you buy in the supermarket. Beginning in 1972, we embarked on a comprehensive new program for increasing food prices. Many other nations, foreign sales, price meat and eggs off the American table. I've also taken another action today to stop the rise in coffee prices. I've ordered the Internal Revenue Service to begin immediately a thorough going audit of the books of company, which have raised their prices more than 1.5% above their January receipts. The purpose of the audit will be to find out whether these increases were justified by rising costs. If they were not, the prices will be rolled back. The battle against inflation is everybody's business. I have told you what the administration is. There's also a vital role in the Congress. The most important single thing the Congress can do in holding down the cost of living is to hold down the cost of government. For my part, I shall continue to veto spending bills that we get out of order, no matter how level sounding their names may be. If these budget busters become law, the money would come out of your pocket, either in higher prices, higher wages, or possibly both. There are several specific recommendations I've already made to the Congress that will be important in holding down prices in the future. I again urge quick action on all of these proposals. Congress should give the President the authority to reduce tariffs in selected cases in order to increase supplies of scarce goods and hold down their prices. This action will help on such scarce items as meat, fiber, and silk. In particular, the tariff on imported meat should be removed. Congress should provide authority to dispose of more surplus commodities held in government stockpiles. Congress should let us go ahead quickly with the Alaska pipeline so that we can combat the shortage of oil and gas. I shall also soon send to the Congress a major new set of proposals on energy, spelling out new actions I believe are necessary to help us meet our energy needs and thereby lessen pressure on fuel prices. In its consideration of new farm legislation, it is vital that the Congress put high production ahead of high prices. So that farm prosperity will not be at the cost of higher prices for the consumer. If the Congress sends me a farm bill or any other bill that I consider inflationary, I will be for that bill. Beyond what the administration can do and what the Congress can do, there's also a great deal of the next 60 days can decide the question. The question of whether we shall have a continuing inflation that leads to recession, or whether we deal responsibly with our present problems, and so go forward with a vigorous prosperity and a swift return to a free market. You can help by giving your senators and congressmen your support when they make the difficult decisions to hold back on unnecessary government spending. You can help by saying no to those who would impose a permanent system of controls on this great productive economy of ours, the wonder of the world. Let there be no mistake. If our economy is to remain dynamic, we must never step into the temptation they imagine that in the long run, controls could be a substitute for a free economy, or permit us to escape the need for discipline, fiscal, and monetary policy. We must not let controls become on our economy. We must not become addicted. There are all sorts of seeming simple gimmicks that would give the appearance or offer the promise of controlling inflation, but that would carry a dangerous risk of bringing on a recession, and it would not be effective in holding down prices. Rigid, permanent controls always look better on paper than they do in practice. We must never go down that road, which would lead to economic recession. We have much to be thankful for here in America. We are the best clothed, best fed, best housed people in the world, the envy of every nation. This year, for the first time in 12 years, we are at peace in Vietnam, and all of our courageous prisoners of war have returned to their homes. This year, for the first time in a generation, no young Americans are being drafted for the honor system. This year, we find our products brighter than at any time, modern youth, for a lasting peace. For the abundant prosperity such peace are made possible. Next Monday, I will meet at the summit here in Washington with General Secretary Brushing of the Soviet Union. Based on the months of preparatory work that has been done for this meeting, and based on the extensive consultation and correspondence we've had, I can confidently predict tonight that out of our meetings will come major new progress toward reducing both the burden of arms and the danger of war, and toward a better and sacrificing our lasting strength. We can achieve what America has not had since President